You know, deer season for rifle hunters opens Saturday. We've had all week for muzzleloaders and air rifles and primitive weapons. Had some good reports and some not so good reports on that. But Daryl Bell is an expert bow hunter. He studies deer, I guess, 24/7. And he also writes our wildlife management column every month in the magazine. I want to welcome Daryl to the show. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Yeah, man, no problem. Y'all doing okay today?
We're doing great. Looking forward to a good weekend of deer hunting, crappie fishing, or whatever we can get into this weekend. So opening day, first of all, what do you think hunters should do? We've got a really good day shaping up for Saturday afternoon with, like Joe said earlier in the show, the pressure's going to drop. There's going to be a front coming through that night. What's your opinion about hunting deer just before a front hits, a strong front?
As long as it's a big front, I really like to hunt them, you know, the evening before, like you're talking about Saturday evening, the evening before, the morning of the front, and then the day the front leaves. You know, it's more of just a pressure change than it is whether it's rising or falling. Now, don't get me wrong, I would much rather hunt a rising pressure, but if you're having a big pressure change, a big temperature drop, and that those changes are what's going to put deer on their feet in the early season. So I haven't looked at the weather specifically for down here this weekend. I'm actually going back to Kentucky to put some more guys on some deer, but I believe that front is pushing through Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I imagine it's probably going to be Sunday morning or so down here.
Yeah.
So my opinion, Sunday morning is probably going to be the best morning. So you know, even into Sunday afternoon.
So, Daryl, we've got on Saturday afternoon, we've got pressure down in the 29.86.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday morning, we got pressure at 30.18. So it's a huge spike in about a 12-hour period. And what the big difference is, you've got about a 15-degree temperature swing.
Yep.
And you've got a switch from a south wind in the 15-mile-an-hour range to a north wind in the 15-mile-an-hour range. And one of the things, I mean, when I was coming up, I was always taught that deer don't move in high winds.
Right.
And in the last few years, I've changed my tactics up, and I found that really not to be true. But what I've found different is that they don't walk – I don't see them in open areas in high winds. They stay close to their bedding areas. They do get up and move. But I've been successful in recent years getting as close to bedding areas as possible on a high wind day. It covers up your sound. It covers up your scent, you know, because you got a strong wind. You know which way it's going to go. I've had good luck doing that. What do you think about these high wind days?
I really think it depends on where you're hunting at. For instance, in the Midwest, I shot the buck I shot last Tuesday. I killed him with 14, 15 mile an hour north winds, misting rain, 38 degrees. It was actually right in the middle of a front, like right the front had just gone by at 9 in the morning, I think, is when the pressure started rising. It peaked about 5 o'clock, and I shot him at 4:40. So it was just like you're talking about Sunday morning, building up to that. The wind hadn't dropped yet. So I think it really depends on where in the country you're hunting. In the Midwest, it could be 30 miles an hour. And as long as the conditions are right as far as the pressure and the wind and the time of year, you're going to shoot deer in it. Down here, I think they're still going to move in the wind, but I think it's a dramatic difference in, you know, we're up there, you'll still see them in 22 to 25 mile an hour wind. Down here, you're not going to see a deer in that. And they're just because they're not moving much, especially on those north winds. I mean, the subspecies of deer we're dealing with down here, they're a lot smaller frames. We're up there, they can deal with that type of wind speed in cool weather when our deer just aren't going to, they're not going to put up with that, and they're not going to move in it. So, like you said, getting in tight to those bedding areas, low, thick areas where it's cutting a lot of the wind, on a high wind day, 14, 15 miles an hour, that's where I would be at. And most of the time, I would predict, like I said, I haven't looked at the weather for Sunday, but everything sounds like it's shaping up to be perfect Sunday morning. And then the wind speed, I'd be willing to bet the wind speed drops by 5 to 7 miles per hour probably before dark on Sunday. which is going to make Sunday evening another. The three things I really pay attention to are the spikes in pressure, like you were talking about, the 10 to 15 plus degree temperature drops, really 12 to 15, and then the drops in wind speed, the major drops in wind speed. And Sunday morning, it doesn't sound like it's going to have that wind speed drop, but it's got, you know, two out of those three factors, and then sounds like Sunday evening it's probably going to be, you know, they'll probably have the wind speed drop right at dark.
Yeah.
So Sunday should be the best day.
There's a two or three factors that come to mind when you're talking about deer and lack of movement in the high wind. You know, deer live by their nose. And if you've got a high wind, not only does it make them nervous because they can't see around them everything, especially in Alabama with all the underbrush that we have to deal with down here, everything's moving, you know, the wind's moving, all the bushes around, they can't really see what's going on. And also, when the wind's blowing hard from one direction, they have a limited range of scent. So I think those two things actually is the reason that deer don't like the wind too much down here, because they will get up and move, but they'll stay close to that safety zone, like Joe said, close to the bedding area.
Yeah.
And I think, and I believe the reason they do that, from what I've seen hunting them all over the South and the Midwest, with those wind speeds, so it's pretty common knowledge. A mature deer is not going to walk with, you know, the wind at his back. He's going to walk with the wind in his face so he can win what he's going into. But I firmly believe that is the complete opposite for the way they bed. From all of my trail camera studies and bedding area studies and what I've seen deer doing, I firmly believe that mature bucks will actually bed with the wind at their back when they're bedded, so that they can see what's in front of them and wind what's behind them.
Yeah.
So getting in close to those bedding areas on those high wind days, it makes it easy on those days to tuck in close to those deer on a high wind day, because they can't, like I said, they can't hear as well. They're going to, like I said, in most cases from my experience, they're going to be bedded with that wind off their back. Mm-hmm. So it can make it tough on, you know, a really calm day to get in tight on a mature buck. That's why I don't hunt buck bedding areas that much. But on a high wind day, if he's bedding in thick cover, you can slip in there upwind of him with the, you know, the wind at his back, and you can slip in there upwind and get on them without them knowing. And then if you have those substantial wind speed drops right at dark, he's going to stand up and turn around and walk with that wind in his face. And as long as you were, you know, snuck in on that backside.
So Daryl, you know, most of our hunters are going to be going out to a green patch, most likely. I mean, I'm not saying that's everybody, but, you know, a lot of folks on opening day, the deer are still in their, you know, feeding patterns. They're going to be going out to a green patch. You know, one of the things that's always a challenge when you're standing at the sign out board, and I think a lot of people are thinking, you know, okay, I'm sitting in this shooting house looking at this green patch, and, you know, I want to make sure that my scent's not blowing out over that green patch that I'm trying to hunt. What's been your experience? I've got my kind of beliefs on this, but what's been your experience as far as wind direction when you're hunting a food source? Do you like for your scent to be blowing, you know, do you want the wind straight in your face, or do you like a crosswind?
I definitely like a crosswind. The reason being is, you know, if you're sitting on a food plot or a food source with the wind directly in your face, the wind may be perfect for you, and you're probably going to see deer. But that wind is going to be terrible for a mature buck. A mature buck is not going to come into that green field on a wind that's perfect for you, just because if the wind's in your face, unless he's coming from behind you, which he would still wind you at that point. If he's coming from dead in front of you, that means he's walking with the wind at his back.
And right.
A mature buck just isn't going to do that. So I much prefer a crosswind. I shot a deer in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, and it was in the morning, and I was hunting a travel corridor from bedding, from food to bedding. And I had a perfect crosswind to where it was blowing over my left-hand shoulder out in front of me, but expecting the deer to come from, you know, the right side. At some point, the deer I was not planning on shooting, the deer I wouldn't shoot, would cross my wind at some point.
Right.
But they're down. They're farther down the finger. They're away from me. I don't think they would blow the area up too bad if they did bust me. And that's exactly how it went. Three deer came funneling through, a doe and two bucks. And the doe was, of course, way ahead of the bucks, and she got downwind of me, and I don't think she busted me, mm-hmm. but by the time she would have gotten to where she could bust me, the bucks were already right in front of me. I definitely would more prefer a crosswind, because it at least make those bucks feel safe feel like the wind's in their favor when it's really not in their favor.
We've been talking deer hunting tactics with Daryl Bell, but before we get back to Daryl, I want to remind everybody to please wear your safety harnesses and take all the precautions that you learned when you were a child. We've had some terrible things happen this week. I don't want to get into the details, but a little girl lost her life, and we just really hate to see that happen out there. Take all the precautions. Remember the 10 rules of gun safety. It only takes a minute to unload a gun, so please keep that in mind and wear that safety harness up and down the tree as well as when you get in your stand. Daryl, we've been talking about tactics, but I want to hear a good old hunting story, and I understand you have one. What state were you in when you called this buck up?
Well, I was actually in Ohio, and okay. it was last week, and I was hunting a farm that it's a phenomenal farm when the rut kicks off, but until then, when it's in corn like it is this year, it's a very hard farm to hunt. If you could just imagine a 600-acre cornfield, and you'd put a wood line running right through it east to west, and then a wood line running right through it north to south. So you basically made an X with wood lines right in the middle of it or across.
Right.
I was actually hunting right in the cross of those two wood lines. Those wood lines connect to big timber blocks on each end. I would say the one I was hunting was probably 52 yards wide. So pretty narrow blocks. They're pretty thick in there. But what makes it so good is when this corn is standing like it was then, there's benefits to it and there's downsides to it. And the benefit is that when the bucks do start chasing the does, they can chase them in that corn, but it's pretty hard for them to stay on them. So they kind of try to push them down into those fingers and run them up and down those fingers. So the bad side is that all the deer are living in the corn, and you don't see a lot of deer at all. So I went 2 days without seeing a deer. I hunted 2 days, daylight to dark, in the rain, in the cold weather. And then Tuesday, about 9 a.m., the weather finally broke. And the wind, the crowd started breaking up, the pressure was coming up. And during that time of year, especially hunting that particular farm, I blind call about every 15 minutes, just in case there's a buck cruising in that corn that you don't see or you don't hear, and you can hopefully pull them out of that corn into the finger. And that's exactly what I did. Probably about 4:15 or so, 4:17, I think it was. I did some blind calling with just some grunting and some bleeding, and right at 4:30, I looked up and an 8-point came out of the corn in front of me, walking right at me, and he turned and he started. I wouldn't say a run, but it was more of a trot down the finger, looking for the source of that call. Now, in hindsight, I think he may have been on the doe in that corn because he was already out of breath, and he may have thought my calling was him finding the doe.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't shoot him at that point because I wasn't exactly sure how big he was until he started away from me, and I was able to rewatch the footage, and I could tell he was a pretty good deer. So he was headed down the wood line to one of my buddies. He was only about 150, 200 yards down, and so I waited 20 minutes. And I texted him. I asked him if he had seen the buck. He hadn't seen him. So I did two more pretty deep locator grunts and a doe bleat. And it wasn't 45 seconds. A minute later, I look up and the deer was running back down the finger, full blast, as hard as he could run, and jumped the creek, just running just as hard as he could run. Probably an 8-foot gap, I would say, in the creek. And he ran right in there to 22 yards and stopped, looking at the tree. Of course, he wasn't looking up at me. He was more looking, you know, in the direction of where that call came from. But I shot him right there at 22 yards.
Well, you're talking about blind calling. Do you recommend that in Alabama? I mean, I get mixed reviews on calling deer in Alabama. What's your opinion?
It depends on the time of year and what mood the deer in. And until I'm watching deer, it's really hard for me to tell. You know, until I'm seeing deer during the rut, it's really hard for me to tell what's going to work. One thing I will do is rattle pretty much all year, and probably every sit, no matter which state I'm in year round. I'll do some other than velvet season and early Kentucky season, but I'll rattle, and I've had really good success, and I have buddies that have success rattling deer up, you know, early season in Alabama all the way through the year, just doing light rattling, not hardcore rattling, but some light rattling. They've had really good success, and I have as well, of calling bucks and doing that. That would probably be the only calling I would recommend doing on a pretty regular basis. Going into the pre-rut, I like to do a lot of rattling and a lot of grunting. And then right, they're pretty aggressive in that stage. They're pretty territorial. When I shot my buck in Kentucky, that's the state of mind I thought the deer were in. And then that morning, those two bucks came in following the doe, and they were right 5 yards from each other. They kind of interacted. They were not aggressive at all. So that kind of told me that my tactic, you know, what I thought, the state of mind I thought they were in was actually not the state of mind they were in. And I switched that up the next week into grunting and bleeding because I figured that's what was on their mind was love at that point. And that's what ended up calling that bucket in Ohio.
We want to wish you good luck back up in Kentucky, man. And we appreciate the tips. And always good to hear a good, successful deer hunting story, too.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Daryl.